Welcome, friends, to this episode in the ongoing series, Purgatory, the Dogma Explored. I'm Father Clement Machado. Today, I would like to discuss about what is called the Handbook of Indulgences, the Enchiridion of Indulgences. I had briefly explained indulgences a couple of episodes previous. We know that indulgences historically came about as a result of public practice of confession, acknowledgement of sins, as well as a public form of penance, or public form of satisfaction, a public form of reparation due to sin. Indulgences were the community helping an individual penitent or sinner to not only rehabilitate, return to God, but also help them in the purification process, satisfaction done and accomplished because of a particular sin, usually a serious or grave public sin, most notably idolatry, adultery, and murder in the early church were considered to be three major sins of such notoriety that they merited the three most grave or severe forms of public penances. Therefore, an indulgence is the church community that is interceding on behalf of a penitent. Interceding not on its own merits or its own intentions, but interceding on behalf of someone before God. The first merit, the first source of any work is God Himself. It is grace that renders our works, our prayers, our intercessions supernatural or acceptable before God. The church community, as a treasure house, or rather as a channel of God's mercy, God's grace, God's indulgence upon the penitent sinner, is authorized by Christ Himself. In St. John's Gospel, after the resurrection, we read how Jesus appears among the disciples, His own 12 apostles, and after greeting them, peace be with you, breathes the Holy Spirit. The initial gift of the Holy Spirit mandating them is the forgiveness of sins. Whatever sins you forgive or loose here on earth will be forgiven, remitted, or loosed in heaven. Whatever sins that you retain here on earth will be retained in heaven. Forgiveness not only to the guilt of the sin, but also to the damage done, the necessary satisfaction or penance. And that is how the initial penances occurred and evolved over the first few centuries of the church and to the Middle Ages, where you had a private form of confession as well as penance. However, because an individual penitent is reintegrating back into the communion of saints, into the assembly of believers, into the church community, the church has a stake. And when I mean church, I just don't mean church hierarchy. I mean the whole body of faithful, clergy and lay faithful alike, have a stake to contribute towards helping someone in their purification before God. In this handbook of indulgences, we find an explanation, the norms, the guidelines, an explanation, a teaching as to what is an indulgence, where does it come from, what is the historical background, how has it evolved in terms of the Christian church. We see what is the different types or modes of indulgences. This handbook of indulgences is the latest revised edition of the church's catalog of indulgences. It was revised following the conclusion of the Second Vatican Council. The first edition of the Enchiridion Indulgentarium was in June of 1968. There was a second edition shortly afterwards in October 1968, as well as a re-edition and revision in 1986. This Handbook of Indulgences, Norms and Grants is based on that 1986 revised edition. The United States Catholic Bishops Conference received an authorization from the Holy See, from the Apostolic Penitentiary, which governs and approves the Handbook of Indulgences being translated in the vernacular language. And so it approved an English edition for the United States. Now, the penitentiary approves various translations as each bishop's conference or episcopal conference presents it. The vernacular is surveyed and monitored so that it is as faithful as possible to the original Latin. The authorization was given at Rome at the Apostolic Penitentiary, the 8th of November, 1988, the English edition, as approved for the United States. When we look through this third edition of the Apostolic Indulgence, that which is granted by decree of the Apostolic Penitentiary, we have an understanding of the place of indulgences. There are many Catholics that don't fully understand what purgatory or indulgences are, except through stereotypical statements, cryptic words or phrases, or through outright criticism of indulgences. We have non-Catholics, people of other religions or faiths, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, those of the Jewish faith, as well as those of other Christian denominations, that hear of indulgences, are perplexed by it, are curious of it, in many cases don't quite understand it. And for some people that I have met along the way in my ministry, they say, you know, Father, we're very interested in the Catholic faith, however, we don't quite understand what purgatory or indulgences are, or even the relationship between the two. In the first few episodes, I talked about the historical context of indulgences, the understanding and practice of it, the theology of it, the Christian revelation of it, God revealing the whole doctrine or teaching on praying for the dead, reparation. And thereby, indulgences and purgatory are very related. Purgatory leads to indulgences. Indulgences are a way of fully living out purgatory by purification or means of purification, not just in the hereafter, but already beginning on earth. The first indulgence, as I mentioned, is God. God is indulgent toward us. God is indulgent in His mercy, in His love, and goodness. And so for God to help us on our earthly pilgrimage towards the heavenly Jerusalem, we need His help from start to finish. A way that God helps us is through the prayers and intercession of the church community, our Christian family, of the saints that are in glory with Him in heaven, and those that are already here on earth awaiting the final glory in heaven. God is always helping us. So an indulgence is not a mere Christian practice that is devoid of any scriptural basis, that intends to make man the source of justification or to make man the source of his own or her own salvation. Rather, it is just applying God's gift of mercy. It is a channel, a point of distribution for God to spread His mercy towards all. The various norms of indulgences are printed in several pages. In all, when we look at start to finish the number of indulgences, we come up with more or less 70 indulgences. These are general indulgences. What do I mean by general? It means that the church offers 70 possibilities or circumstances, acts or deeds for the Christian to help themselves under God's grace to do due satisfaction for sin and purification for oneself and as well for the deceased, those Christians that are saved that have left this world. However, in particular or specific cases, you could have the Pope or the individual church authority, the individual shepherd of a diocese, say a bishop, that can establish new indulgences, either with the permission of the Pope or according to the guidelines established in the Handbook of Indulgences. Religious communities, such as the Dominicans or the Franciscans, we have the Franciscan Sisters here, EWTN, here, Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. The family of Franciscans themselves can be empowered by the Pope in order to set guidelines as to particular indulgences, or more or less have granted to them an indulgence. An indulgence, as I said, applies not only for purification or expiation of sin or the damage done to sin or by sin of the deceased and the living. It also works in the form of intercession and absolution. Absolution for those that are alive and suffrage or intercession for those that have left this world. When we look at the handbook, as I'm doing with you today, on page 19 of the book, we find norms for indulgences. An indulgence is the remission in the eyes of God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose culpable element has already been taken away. What does culpable mean? The guilt. God has already removed the guilt of somebody. However, the full damage done to that sin has not been expiated. God takes away the eternal punishment due to any and all sins. For example, somebody murders someone. The eternal punishment is being excluded from God's presence. Or if someone has closed themselves in on such a sin, doesn't show any repentance or remorse for their murder, it is already the beginning of hell. They cut themselves off from God's light, God's peace. When a person returns to God and is sorry in their hearts, and through the sacraments of baptism, confession, the guilt, the eternal guilt is removed, and so is the eternal punishment. However, God wants the person to make up in some way, in some limited way, yet to make up for the fact that they might have murdered someone, or might have stolen X amount of dollars, whether it be $1,000 or tens of millions of dollars. The Christian faithful who are rightly disposed and observe the definite prescribed conditions gain this remitting through the effective assistance of the church, which as the minister of redemption, again, the church is not creating, it's not the source of redemption, Christ is. However, the church acts as minister. It has a ministerial role. As the minister of redemption authoritatively distributes and applies the treasury of the expiatory works of Christ and the saints. In other words, Christ's sufferings, his passion and death on the cross, is a treasure house of expiation from all sin. Joined with that is the prayers, is the good works of the saints. And of course, when I say good works, it means that these are works that have been inspired by Christ's Spirit. They're not just based on any human motive or element, but based on a spiritual element. For example, when Christ says in the gospel, whoever gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones has an eternal reward. It has to be done in Christ's sake or for the love of God. And when it's done in that intention, in the Lord, when a glass of water is done in the Lord, so to speak, when the Lord is moving you to do such a good work, it has an eternal reward. If I just do it for any other motive, because I might want to get something, I might want a promotion, or maybe the person ordered me to do it, he's my supervisor or person in charge of me. If I do it for just a simple human motive, and I don't have any other spiritual motive that is driving me, somehow God's Spirit also moving me in that direction, then I just get an earthly reward. It's a purely human action. Thereby, an indulgence takes the human action, the human good work, and elevates it, makes it spiritual. The church doesn't do that, but the church allows certain circumstances and conditions in which it states that for such and such a good work, Christ moves the human person so that when you're doing a good work, when you are praying in the Lord, when you're doing a good work in the Lord, then the Lord not only rewards you with greater heaven or greater grace, but part of that grace is making up for my past sins, for myself and for those that have left this world. I can also, in a very indirect way, pray for somebody that has not found the Lord or has found the Lord but is struggling to overcome or expiate sin and its consequences in their lives. However, indulgence requires that a person is rightly disposed, is in what we call a state of grace, a state of salvation before the Lord. The church states in this handbook on indulgences, an indulgence is either plenary or partial. That is, it frees a person either from all or from some of the temporal punishment due to sins. So a plenary indulgence means that there is full absolute expiation, reparation for the sins of my past. By doing a good work, the church also adds to it its own prayers, intercession before God. God that sends the Spirit to move us to do such a good work also accepts it in value for the sins that had been committed. In many ways, we find charities that will give X number of dollars, or there will be benefactors that will give a certain number of dollars, for example, maybe contribution of $1,000 to a charity. And you'll find another group or benefactor or even a government agency that say, we will match that contribution dollar for dollar. It's a way of promoting the good work. So that is what happens with indulgences. It is almost as if the church is saying on behalf of Christ that God is going to help you. We are distributing God's contribution. He is matching. God will match with His mercy and grace, will match your good work. It is interesting. In a case of finances, it's dollar for dollar, same currency. This is what happens. A person does something moved by God, a great act, or maybe a prayer. And before God, it's a good spiritual act. It's got good spiritual value. But at the same time, God is almost doubling His grace, because through the prayers of the church community, God also adds that value to the person's individual action. So indulgence means a person, as part of a community, is not only being helped by God as an private individual, but also the community is involved. So there's a very communal ecclesial dimension involved. God helping an individual and reaching out to him, pouring out his mercy, not just in a very private manner, but also through the faith, through the justification of the church. So that could be done in a plenary or partial way. As well, as we go through the various norms of indulgences, we find that beside the 70 or so general indulgences, an indulgence, at least a partial indulgence, can be gained under one of three major grants. The first grant of indulgence is a partial indulgence is granted to the Christian faithful who, while performing their duties and enduring the difficulties of life, raise their minds in humble trust to God and make, at least mentally, some pious invocation. Second grant or opportunity of indulgence is the following. A partial indulgence is granted to the Christian faithful who, prompted by a spirit of faith. You see, it's not works without faith. It's works done in the spirit of faith, in the spirit of salvation. God's grace is always at the origin and source of an indulgence or any work, action, or intention, disposition required. So done in a spirit of faith, devote themselves or their goods, their possessions, spiritual or material, in compassionate service to their brothers and sisters in need. This indulgence quotes John 13:15 and Acts 10:38. There's a whole list of scriptural references following each grant. The third basic grant is a partial indulgence is granted to the Christian faithful who, in a spirit of penitence, always penitence or penitential spirit is always done and is part of the grace of faith, the grace of redemption. Voluntarily abstain from something which is licit or allowed for and pleasing to them. In other words, if I decide to give up my day at the ballpark, because that's my usual recreation, if I decide to give up a movie, for example, and just offer it up in expiation for past sins, or the sins of those that have left this world, it can be a good work if always done in the spirit and grace of faith. Once again, each of these grants are followed by several scriptural quotations. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, Titus chapter 2, verse 12, and another series of quotes. What are some of these indulgences? Prayers, spiritual devotions or exercise, many that have been very traditional in Catholic piety, litanies to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, litany of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, act of reparation to the Sacred Heart, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer for meetings, the Adoro Te Devote, which is hidden here before me, Lord, act of contrition, act of faith, hope and love, prayer for different occasions, prayer to the guardian angel, the Angelus, prayer for the dead, visiting a church and praying before God, visiting a cemetery and praying on behalf of those that have deceased, just the creed or profession of faith, act of spiritual communion, or being part of a retreat or mission, reciting Psalm 130, either teaching or studying some form of Christian doctrine or Bible study. These are pretexts in which we can gain indulgences. Join me as we conclude this program. Join me the next time as we once again embark on this wonderful journey through the Christian faith. Oh God, help us and send us your wisdom that we appreciate the doctrine of purgatory indulgences, now and forevermore. Amen.